Begin the current Tav, Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf in the top of this Amud. The Gemara quoted a Braisa, Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yitzchak regarding if a Kuti is allowed to circumcise a Jewish person. Rabbi Yehuda says no, because he's going to circumcise as these Kutim were not full-fledged converts on some level, and their intention is going to be for Har Gerizim, where they had their idol, this bird that they had that they worshipped. Rabbi Yitzchak said, who cares? Who cares what they're thinking? They just let them circumcise, and it's going to be a full-fledged circumcision, and there's no problem. So that explains the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizki says, "My time in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Yisi, and says that it's forbidden for a Kusi to circumcise, it's not going to be a valid circumcision?" Says Rav Chizki, because the Pasuk says in Shemais, where it's talking about the carbon Pesach, it says, Vasisa Pesach, it should make a carbon Pesach, Lashem for Hashem. And additionally, the Pasuk says that Himol, Yimol, that one should circumcise the people that are in the household. You can't make the carbon Pesach without that. But if you read those two words together, although they're from two halves of the Pasuk, you could read it, Lashem Himol, which tells you that you have to do the circumcision for the purposes Lishma for Hashem. That's why a Kuti is invalid, because he circumcises not for the sake of Hashem, but rather for his bird that he worships. In contrast, actually, Rabbi Yehuda held that a non-Jew is actually not problematic, because when he circumcises, he's only doing it with the intention of what the Jew is telling him to do it, because he doesn't do it for his Avodah Zarah, because by their practices, they don't do circumcision. So what he's doing it for the sake and the utility of the Jew, and therefore a non-Jew could circumcise, but a Kuti cannot. But Rabbi Yitzchak, he would tell you, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Himol Yimol, circumcised to circumcise, which is a ribui, which is an inclusionary term, which includes even a kuti. On that, the Gemara asks, but for idach, what the other one, meaning Rabbi Yisi, haksiv l'Hashem Himol, what does he do with the Pasuk that we bring for Behuda, that it says that the circumcision should be for Hashem? So on that, says the Gemara, like the simple understanding of the Pasuk, Ahu b'Pesach k'siv. No, that word l'Hashem is going on the first half of the Pasuk, which the Karban Pesach has to be for the purposes of l'shma for Hashem. Pesach has to be l'shma. But the Mila, which is the second half of the Pasuk, doesn't have to be l'shem. Now the Gemara is v'idach, and the other opinion, meaning that of Rabbi Yehuda, Nami hoksiv himol yimol. What does he do with the inclusionary term of circumcised or circumcised, which seems to be like Rabbi Yisi, including even the Kuti? And that says the Gemara, Dibra Torah Kolosh v'yadim, he understands that the Torah speaks the way people normally speak, which people speak in redundant type of terminology, and it's not coming to include anything, and therefore you don't have any term including a kuti. That's the understanding of the Machlekes, Rabbi Yisrael and Yehuda, if a kuti is allowed to circumcise or not. Now, continuing on this halacha, specifically the other half of the equation, which was mentioned in the previous daf, this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, regarding a non-Jew. Could a non-Jew circumcise a Jewish person? It must have been learned, minayin lemila ba'evu kechav m'shib sula. From where do we know that circumcision through a non-Jew is invalid? So Dar Bar Papash made the Ravam, he says, which actually was brought from this from Yehuda Anosi himself in the previous staff, Va'ates Brisi Tishma, Hashem Setav from Avinu, you, my covenant, should safeguard, and like the Pasuk says, Vazarecha Acharecha, and your children after you, meaning who is the safeguardians, who does the circumcision? A Jewish person and not a non-Jew. Rabbi Yechanan, he brings a different source from Himal Yimal, which is because one could read the words not just circumcised should be circumcised, but you could read it as Himol Yimol. The one who is circumcised, he circumcises others. So ask the Gemara, but now what's the practical difference between their two interpretations? What's the source that a Jewish person who's circumcised has to do the circumcision? Says the Gemara, An Ravi Mohel v'Gavnuni Mohel Ikebenai. The difference between them is the Arabs who circumcise themselves and the Gavnunim, who are also a type of a nation who also circumcise themselves, is going to be the practical difference. And that is Mandam Himol Yomel, the one who learns it out from whoever is circumcised could circumcise someone else. Se'ika, they're circumcised. They could circumcise a Jewish person. Whereas a Mandam as Brisi Tishma, but the first opinion says that we know it from the words that Hashem told Avram and his children that they should be the safe guardians of the circumcision, Se'leka. Although they're circumcised, but they're not the children of the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore they're not going to be valid of doing a circumcision. But the Gemara asks in this interpretation, are you saying that, according to the one who says, that we learn it out from whoever is circumcised, Hamol, could be Yimol, which is if he's circumcised like the Arabian or this Gavnuni, then they could circumcise a Jewish person? But if it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechet as the Dharma as follows. The Mishnah says, if someone says, Kainim shani nena min arelum, what that means to say is, since a Lashon Nedu has to be on an object, He's saying that the benefit that I have from uncircumcised individuals should be forbidden on me by the neder of a kainim, which kainim is a terminology like of hekdesh, making it forbidden to me like hekdesh. So if he takes basically a neder, prohibiting himself benefit from an aril, which is the term for an uncircumcised person, muta baril Yisrael, he is permitted to benefit from an uncircumcised Jew, even though he says he's forbidden from uncircumcised people, the asr b'mayli avt kicham, and he's forbidden to have benefit from a circumcised non-Jew. So says the Gemara, Alma, you see, avagav de mehili, that a non-Jew, even if he, quote, circumcised himself, command loy mehili dami, it's like he's not circumcised. We view a non-Jew intrinsically as an oral, even if he takes off the foreskin. So how can you say that the practical difference is the Arabians and this Gemnon who are circumcised, then they can circumcise because they're considered mahol, then not mahol. So you wouldn't qualify for the interpretation even of a himo yimo to say if he's mahol, he could mahol someone else. We don't consider him as a mahol, even though physically he actually did circumcision. So Eleikim and I rather says the Gemara an opposite type of a case. The difference between them would be Yisrael Shemesa Achav Machmas Mila V'loy Maluhu. A Jewish person, his brothers passed away because of circumcision, which they were bleeding, couldn't be stopped, and then they died. So because of that, they didn't circumcise him so that he shouldn't die. So therefore, that because that's for Sakana Stafashis. But ultimately, so he's a Jew, but he's not circumcised. And that says the Gemara, Lamandam of Ates Brisi Tishman, the one who says, learns it out from that you have to be from the children of Avraham Avinu, from the Bnei Yisrael, Seika. So he is from the safe guardians, because he's from the Jewish people. So he could circumcise another Jew, even though he's not circumcised. But one learns it out from whoever is circumcised, could circumcise Seleka. He wouldn't be able to circumcise, because he himself is not circumcised. And that the Gemara asks the same question as before, just from the opposite direction. You tell me, according to the one who learns it out from the one who circumcised, can circumcise, wouldn't qualify for a Jewish person that cannot circumcise for safety reasons, that he wouldn't be able to circumcise? But Ratzanan, we learned over there in that Mishnah over there in the Dharm that says, let's say someone makes a neder the other way around. I'm taking a neder forbidding myself to have any benefit from people that are circumcised. So Asa Bareli Yisrael, he's forbidden to have benefit from even uncircumcised Jews. And he's permitted to have benefit from even circumcised non-Jews. Says the Gemara, Amu, we see Avagav to Lemehili, that a Jew, even if he's not circumcised, command the Mehiladam, we qualify him, we view him intrinsically as if he is circumcised. So you see that that's why you can't have benefit from the Jew no matter what. And therefore we are going to consider him Mahol, and even if he's not physically circumcised, he could go ahead and would qualify for Himal Yimal to circumcise another Jew. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Ikamina, you're right, third interpretation. The difference between these two different Pshatim in the Gemara is going to be regarding an Isha, regarding a woman. And that is, Lamandam of Ates Brisi Tishma, according to one who learns it out from that you should safeguard the covenant of the Bris Milam. So Leka, that wouldn't qualify to allow a woman to do circumcision, because the Isha Lav Bas Milihi. She's not someone who is safeguarding the covenant of circumcision, because she doesn't have circumcision. But Lamandam Ahim Yom, according to the one who says that whoever is circumcised could circumcise Ika. That would qualify a woman to allow her to do a bris milah, because the isha commanded mehiladamia. A woman is as if she is circumcised. She is intrinsically circumcised from the fact that she's a Jewess, from the fact that she doesn't have the arla, and therefore we view her as circumcised. According to that pshat, she could do a bris. According to the one of the ates bris yitzishma, she would not be able to do a bris milah. That's the practical difference. Now, this interpretation, the Gemara asks, is there really an opinion, as we said, from Va'ates Prisit Tishmer, that would hold that a woman cannot do circumcision? But V'ksiv, the pasuk says in Shemais, V'tikach Tzipirit Tzar, and Tzipirit took a rock, and she went and she cut off the foreskin of her child to prevent the catastrophe that was happening at that time. But we see that the woman, Tzipirit, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, did circumcision. So it's going to be Kari Bei V'takach. You have to read it, not that V'tikach that she took, but rather, batakach, she had it taken, meaning through an agent. She had someone else do the circumcision. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? V'ksiv v'tichre, it says, and she cut it off. So the Gemara, no, kari be v'tachreis. You have to read it that she had it cut off, meaning she the umrla in the shachrin of Avid, she told to someone else, and he went and did the circumcision. Or if you want, says the Gemara, you could say a different resolution, that, yeah, asi ihi v'aschala, she came and she started the cutting. So Moshe came and he concluded, and the circumcision happened through Moshe Rabbeinu, so it was done through a man, and therefore it's not necessarily muchach that it's able to have a circumcision through a woman, and that's like we're saying, because that's contingent upon this machlik is regarding what is the source that a non-Jew cannot do circumcision. According to the one that learns of Ates Brisi Tishma, that would disqualify a woman, but the one that learns of Himla Yimel would qualify a woman to be able to do a Bris Milah. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. We can continue on our relationships that we have with non-Jews, with idol worshippers. Says the Mishnah, Misrapin Mehen, we could accept therapy, healing, medicine from the Akum, from the Eved Avodah Zarah, a Ripui Mamon, a healing of money. Avoloi Ripui Nefashos, but not a healing of life. I'm going to explain what does that mean. We could receive monetary healing, but not life healing. Now, continues the Mishnah, we can never get hirkets from them in any situation, even in public, when it's on the public streets where people are constantly walking by. It doesn't make a difference because he might cut the Jew's neck with a razor and kill him. That's the Vermeer. They disagree. They say, Bershus Rab Mutter. In the public domain, it's permitted because people see he wouldn't go ahead and then kill him. But if it's a private haircutting in a private, discreet area, then it would be forbidden because, again, then he might injure and kill the Jew. Now, the Gemara asked, "My ripin mum and the my ripin the fashas." What does it mean when we said that we can use the services of the doctor for monetary healing, but not for life healing? What does that mean? Ilem ripin mum and beschar. If would mean to say that monetary healing means to say if we pay him, then we could use his services. Ripin the fashas bechinim. What does it mean? A ripin the fashas. It would mean for free, because actually the word nefesh means a person's own will and desire. Meaning he's doing it from his own desire, not because he's getting paid, as we find the Pasuk in Bereishis Chav Gimel, Im Yeshes Nafshechem, where he said, if this is what you want, if this is what you desire. So it's not coming because of payment, because it's from his own goodwill. If you're saying that's the difference, that's what the Mishnah means, but then listen, so then the Gemara says, then the Mishnah should have said explicitly, Mesrapin Mehen Beschar, we can use their medicinal services if they're getting paid, because what the rationale would be over there, because then they wouldn't kill the Jew, because they're scared then they wouldn't get their money. But not if they do it for free, because they have nothing to gain, they'll just kill the Jew. If that was what it meant, then say explicitly like that. Say that we can use it if we're paying, but not if it's free. So what does it mean, mumin and the fascists? Ella rather says the Gemara, no, reaper mumin means to say, dover, we're talking about something, a type of a wound, she'im by sakana, where there's no danger to life, meaning that even if the non-Jew messes the Jew up, where he's going to make his injury even worse, it's not going to kill him, but he's just going to make it worse so they could charge him more money and say, oh, you got this problem, it keeps on making it worse and worse. That's something where, okay, worst case scenario is you're going to charge more money, that's ripa mamon, but it's not going to be affecting the nefesh of the Jewish person, that's when you can use his services. In contrast, ripa nefashis, that's davashish besakana, that's something that is something to the life of the Jew, where there's a danger to his life, then if that could cause the Jew to die, then that wouldn't be something we could use the services of the non-Jew. And then ask the Gemara, how could you say that would be the interpretation? Mavamar Yehuda says, Afila rivda de kusilta. He says, even, which is rivda de kusilta, is the lancet, which is used by the professional to puncture, they would do bloodletting, and many times they would do it from the shoulder, that even that, loy matzinim minayu. Even that we cannot take healing from the non-Jewish doctor. In other words, if let's say he complains to this non-Jewish doctor and he says, look, I did bloodletting from a Jewish professional, and he comes to the pain management doctor who's a non-Jew, he cannot tell him to heal me for that pain because it's forbidden at all to give over the Jewish body into the hands of a non-Jewish practitioner. So obviously, that cannot be the interpretation of our Mishnah that only ripin nefashos, which means sakanas nefashos, would be forbidden, because any type of giving over the body to the non-Jewish doctor is forbidden. So rather, the Gemara has and says that what it means, ripin mamon, is his monetary, meaning his behemtoi. He could give over his money, his car, his animal, to be healed by the non-Jewish professional. Ripin nefashos, what does it mean that he cannot give over ripin of nefashos? It means gufei, it means his body, meaning even if there's no danger to his life, but his nefesh, his life, which is his body, that he cannot get healing from a non-Jewish doctor. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Even if this is just the puncture of a lancet with just minor pain and he wants to go to a professional, cannot be to the idolater, to the non-Jew. Now, however, Amar Chizda Amar Okfe, he says, But if, let's say, the non-Jewish professional says, look, you don't let me heal you, I'm not going to touch you. But sam pleni yofel, I want you to know that that medicine is good for you. Sam pleni raloi, that medicine is bad for you. Mutter then is permitted to listen to his advice and follow and use the medicine that he prescribed. Why? Because as the Gemara continues on the base, Savar, the non-Jew is going to think, Shiyuli mashalai. He's asking him. In other words, this Jew, from the fact that he's not letting me work on him and do my practice on him, he obviously doesn't rely on me. So he's coming and he's asking a consultation. He wants to test me. He wants to see, am I going to tell him the truth? So, kihecha de mashalai, he's thinking to himself, just like he's asking him, meaning me, the non-Jewish doctor, mishal in the shachrin, he must be, he's going to many professionals. He wants to get as many opinions as possible. Vasa hu gavalo runafshin is coming to, he's going to find a flaw in my practice. He's going to say, huh, this guy doctor said that. I had 17 other doctors that said not like you. And it's going to be a problem in his practice. Therefore, he's not going to lie and he's going to give the correct type of medicine. Therefore, when you're coming to consult and getting a certain type of a medicine, that would be permitted to listen to his advice because he's not going to lie because he's afraid of being exposed because he thinks the Jew is going to go to all these different doctors and he's going to prove that he was lying to him. Moreover, says the Gemara, another qualification in this halacha, and the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Amar Biechanan. Ramadan, some say Amar Chizdim Amar Biechanan. Let's say someone is ill, where if the doctor wouldn't heal him, Savik Chai Savik Meis. Let's say they don't do any intervention. It's doubtful if he's going to live or he's going to die. So then Amos Rappim. So then it's forbidden to go ahead and get treated by the non-Jewish doctor, because in the context of our Gemara, of Ivdi Kechavim, the idolaters, that we are assuming that most definitely he would kill the Jew, so better let him stay, don't do anything, because he might live, yeah, he might die, but if he goes to the Jewish non-Jewish doctor, he's for sure going to die, so rather don't do anything. In contrast, Vade Meis, let's say we know that if he's not going to go and do medicinal intervention, he's for sure going to die, and there's no Jewish doctor to heal him, then says Rabbi Yechanan, then Mesrapim Hen. Then you can go ahead and use the services of the non-Jewish doctor, because what's the non-Jewish doctor going to do to him? Anyway, he's going to die, and maybe the non-Jewish practitioner is going to save him, and therefore then you could use his services. Now the Gemara asks, but why? Meis, you're saying if he's for sure going to die, then you could use his services, but you still have the momentary life, meaning we're assuming the non-Jewish practitioner is for sure going to kill him. Now, if he doesn't do anything, yeah, although we know he's going to die, but he might live for another day or two. So you're losing that momentary life by going to the non-Jewish practitioner. I'm not concerned about momentary life. It's regarding a person's longevity. If you're sure he's going to live, then we don't do it. But we know he's dying anytime soon, and the non-Jewish practitioner might actually save him. So although we assume he's going to kill him, but even for that day or two, that we're not concerned, and that allows us to go to the non-Jewish practitioner. And that says the Gemara, from where do we know this idea, that we're not concerned for momentary life, we know for sure death is imminent, we can use the services of the non-Jew. Just simply because, like it says, the Pasuk in Melachim Beis, the Pasuk there is talking about, by there was four men that had tzaras, and therefore they were out of the Jewish camp. Now, they were saying to themselves, Im amarnu nava here, if we say we're going to come to the city, v'harav be'iru masnashem, now there's anyways a hunger in the city, and we're going to die there anyway. So there's no point in us going into the Jewish city. Now, if we stay where we are, out of the camp, we're also going to die. So they said to themselves, let's go and go into the camp of Aram, of the enemy. And if we survive, we survive. If we die, we die. But that's the only alternative. At least there's food. At least there's a possibility. Here, we're anyways going to die very soon. We have no food anyway. On that, as the Gemara, Vikach Aisha, what do you mean? But they would have lived a day or two. They weren't dying of starvation yet. They obviously had enough energy to go into the camp of the enemy. But if they go to the camp of the enemy, then they most likely are going to die immediately because the enemy, the non-Jews, are for sure going to kill them. Elalav, rather, must be, says the Gemara, that L'chai Aisha L'chashinan. We're not concerned about that momentary life, that another day or two that they would survive, since anyways they're going to die. And here there was a slight chance, which actually the narrative shows that the Aram was all wiped out and they actually were able to survive, but they had that slight chance, and therefore, the same thing over here, although we assume that the non-Jewish doctor is going to kill him, there's a slight chance he might heal him, and therefore we're allowed to go ahead and use those services, even though that there's Chai Yesha, but L'chai Yesha L'chashinan. However, the Gemara says Meisvi. The Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "Le'yisa ve'yitin adam in haminin, a person not allowed to do business dealings with heretics, and also ve'imis rapim hen, neither can one use the therapeutic services of this heretical doctor, afilach aisha, even if it pertains to momentary life, one is not allowed to use his services. Moreover, Maisib ben Dama ben Achaisish Rabbi Shmuel, there was an incident with Ben Dama, the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, Shekisha Nachash, that a snake bit him. Now, Ubo Yaakov Ishkfar Sechanyler for Oisir, this Yaakov, the man of the village of Sechanya, came to heal him, which, as we mentioned in the first paragraph of Yitzayin Med Aleph, where some bring that he was a student of Yeshui, that he came to heal him. Veleinich Rabbi Shmuel Bishmal did not allow him, because he was a heretic, did not allow this Ben Dama to use his services to save his life. Now, Vamalei, but Ben Dama said to him, Rabbi Shmuel Achi, Rabbi Shmuel, my brother, Hanach Loi, Va'arpa B'menu, leave him, let him heal me. I'll bring you a proof, a source from the Torah, that it's permitted for me to use his services, as Gemara is going to explain later on what that is. But Velehispik Ligma Sadavi didn't get a chance to finish what he wanted to say, until his soul left himself with the word mutter that he said. He says, I'll bring you a proof from the pasuk that it's mutter. When he said that word, then his soul left him, and he died. So Karl of Rabbi Shmuel recited on Ben Dama, Ashrecha Ben Dama, praiseworthy are you, Ben Dama, Sheguvach Tar, that your body is pure, the Yatza Nishmascha Batar, and your soul left with purity, meaning with the word mutter, permitted, which is something that's of that of something that which is a good thing. And you did not violate the words of your colleagues, Shal Yerim, that they said, quoting the Pasuk in Keheles, Upayritz Geder, and someone who breaches the fence, meaning someone who violates the words of the sages, which is the fence around the Torah, Yeshachan and Nachash, a snake should bite him, as the Gemara is going to explain later on what exactly that means, why would that have been so bad? Anyways, he was bitten by a snake, and he could have been healed from the bite of the snake. But one thing the Gemara is asking is that we see that even if a person is definitely going to die, like here he knew he was going to die, if he wasn't going to be healed by this evil person, and we see that still it was forbidden for even momentary life. It was forbidden to go ahead and use the services that contradicts Rabbi Yechanan, who said that if a person is for sure going to die, then you could use the services of a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, no. Shani minis demashcha. Yes, one could use the services of a non-Jew, because even though he might kill him, we're not afraid of that. But a heretic, the problem is, the whole purpose of it is that he might save him. If he might save him, the person might be drawn after the heretical ideas of that doctor. Is going to be drawn after him, and therefore, even if a person is for sure going to die, a heretic is worse than a non-Jew, and he's never allowed to use his services. Now, the Gemara said, Amar, that Rabbi Shmuel told them in praise after he passed away, you didn't violate the words of your colleagues, that they said, someone who breaches the fence by the words of the sages who said that one is not allowed to use the services of a heretic, you didn't violate that, because if you did, then a snake bites the person. So ask the Gemara, Iunami chivr tarki. What do you mean? He himself, Ben Dama, was bitten by a snake, and he could have healed himself and saved himself to survive by using the services of this Yaakov Ishkfar Sechanya, and therefore he wouldn't have had to be concerned about the snake that bites when one violates the words of the rabbis. Because even if a snake would bite him because of violation, he could heal himself again and survive. So what was the big deal had he violated the words of the sages and the snake would have bitten him? But that's what we see, that this Yaakov could have healed him anyway. So the Gemara, no, chivid rabbanan, the snake that bites when a person violates the words of the sages, the lesle asusaklal, that has no healing at all. So therefore, if a snake would have bitten him because he violated the words of the sages, then he would not have been able to heal himself and he would have died. In other words, if he would have healed himself from this bite by violating the words of the sages, then he would have been bitten by another snake, which would have killed him, because whoever violates the words of the sages is liable for death. And therefore, it wouldn't have helped him anyway, and therefore he says, praiseworthy are you that you didn't have to violate the words of the sages, because it wouldn't have helped you anyway. Now the Gemara asks, Umay Havale, and what could Dama have been Lameima? What could he have said? What pasuk was it that he wanted to bring, that he wanted to tell Rabbi Shmuel that, don't worry, I'm allowed to use his services to save my life? Says the Gemara, it's a pasuk in the Yukav Achai Behem. The pasuk says, you should keep the dictates of the Torah, and you should live through them, which teaches us Veloisha Yamas Behem, not that you should die by them. Meaning, keeping this halacha is going to make him die. And therefore, he said that that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants that the Torah should keep you alive, and therefore, I'm allowed to go ahead and use this heretic services to stay alive. But Rabbi Shmuel, says the Gemara, he holds yes, Hanimila Bitzina, but that's only in private. But in public, where there's a chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, when the word's going to get out, and everyone's going to learn that to desecrate Kedushas Hashem, because they're not going to understand and discern, they're just going to know that, oh yeah, this rabbi, he used this heretic, yeah, see, it's not a big deal. So the word gets out, and that creates a chil Hashem. Then loy. Then one is not allowed to use even something like heresy to save one's life. In private, maybe, but not in public. The Talmud learned the Bryce actually, Hayyur B'Shmol Lemmy, that he made this difference. He says, Minayin Shim Oymalay Adam. From where do we know that if they tell a person, Avoid Avoid Skechavim Val Taharig, worship this idol, then you won't get killed. So, although there is an opinion that says one always has to be killed and not do it, Rabbi Shmuel actually holds, Sheyavid Val Yaharig. Where do we know that he should serve the Avodah Zarah and not get killed? Tamalem Evachai Behem. He brings this pasuk that Ben Dama wanted to bring him, that the keeping the Torah is to live by them, and not to be killed by it. But Rabbi Shmuel continues, and that's what he held that in this narrative with Ben Dama too. Yachal Philip Befahes, you would think that something would apply even in public. Time 11, that's the pasuk teaching of Yikra, V'leisachal Hashem Kachi, you should not desecrate my holy name. That's different. And since word would have gotten out, which thus would have made it Befahes that he was healed by this heretic, which is like meanness and Avodah Zarah, and these things are forbidden, that would have been a Chil Hashem. See, the rabbis are using the heretics. How does this work out? What type of world is this? And although in private, because it is permitted, would have been allowed, but in public would have been a Chil Hashem, it's not allowed, and therefore he held that it was not permitted for Ben Dama to use the services of this Yaakov, and therefore better that he die and not violate the words of the sages, which anyways, if he would have been healed, another snake would have bitten him, which he would not have been healed, and it wouldn't have held him anyway.